Senators debate the euthanasia bill.
I just don't see that there's any great urgency. And my personal wish would be that we would slow down and do a thorough examination of all of the aspects of this bill. And if it passes and goes back to the House of Commons, it will have received its due diligence from the Senate.
In the news, a big anti-euthanasia protest on Parliament Hill last week, a new on-the-ground strategy for the pro-life movement, more court activity in the Trinity Western case, and ARPA is expanding again.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
As expected, the House of Commons last week gave third reading to Bill C-14. That's the government law allowing doctor-assisted suicide and, in fact, mandating it as part of Canada's health care system. There were two votes on the issue last Tuesday. The first defeated a number of amendments that had been proposed, including the notion that health care workers would have the freedom not to participate in, perform, or refer for doctor-assisted death. The second vote was the final one. The bill passed 186 to 137. The day after the vote, hundreds of protesters gathered on the front lawn of Parliament to protest against this bill. Some of them laid themselves out in white body bags on the lawns to illustrate the effects of the law. Dr. Catherine Ferrier from the group Physicians for Social Justice addressed the crowd and made an indirect reference to the legal research ARPA has done on the issue of how Parliament could have responded to the Supreme Court's ruling in the Carter case.
We've been told that Canada has no other choice but to legalize euthanasia, that either we pass this bill or the Carter decision will kick in. That is not true. The government could have recriminalized euthanasia and assisted suicide by restating the purpose of the criminal code. They chose not to do that.
There were lots of other speakers as well, including Kitchener Conservative MP Harold Albrecht.
In the preamble to our charter, you see the words, recognizing the supremacy of God. However, in the preamble to Bill C-14, the physician-assisted suicide bill, you see recognizing the autonomy of persons. You cannot have these two philosophies coexisting. If we're going to recognize God as God, and if we're going to recognize men and women as his image bearers, we cannot continue on this suicidal course.
Bill C-14 moved to the Senate last week, and later in the program we'll have a feature interview with one of the senators leading the fight for major changes to that legislation. In other news, Canada's newest pro-life group is embarking on a very boots-on-the-ground political strategy to identify the pro-life vote. Alyssa Golub from the group Right Now was part of a team that hit the streets in Brandon, Manitoba last week doing election-style door-knocking. She says it's all about identifying supporters so they can be called into action at election time.
From the last election, we saw that we didn't have enough volunteers to help pro-life candidates. We didn't have enough people to go vote in nominations. And so we had good pro-life candidates losing the nomination by 10, 16, 20 votes, which should never happen. We should have enough people to do that. So our goal is twofold, not only to increase voter intensity with the pro-lifers we already have, but to find new ones so that this won't be a problem when the next election comes around.
She says the first go-around in Brandon was a good success. They even picked up some volunteers for local pro-life organizations. And there's another side to the campaign, too, involving the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform.
We're also keeping track of who isn't pro-life, who says that they're pro-choice, and then we'll hand them over to CCBR, who will then have a group that comes out and goes to those specific doors to change their mind.
The goal, she says, is to boost pro-life voter ID across the country between now and the next election. Speaking of pro-life activities, the pro-life group in Red Deer, Alberta, put up the We Need a Law flag display late last month. Organizer Val Buchema says it was a great Saturday, and the best part was the way it brought various churches and other groups together in common cause.
We have a wonderful pro-life board, and everybody went back to their home churches and got on the phone and called around and emailed and put it in church bulletins. We were very, very thankful for all the people that came, and it was so exciting to see a lot of families. Old people, young people, middle-aged people. That was really nice.
They did the full display, 100,000 flags, one for every abortion done in Canada every year. That takes a lot of organization, 150 volunteers to set up all the flags, and a fair bit of time.
Well, it actually took us an hour and a half. Our goal is an hour. And so when we got to the hour, I kind of looked around and thought, oh, please don't leave, because we still have a lot to do. And some people had to leave because they had used up their hour. And the other people were quite happy to finish it up with us.
There's more to this at the We Need a Law webpage. We linked to it from our homepage this week. ARPA lawyer Andre Schouten is having a busy June. Last week, he was in Vancouver, intervening in the Trinity Western University Law School court case. The case was before the BC Court of Appeal, which was hearing arguments about whether the BC Law Society was within its rights to change its mind on giving accreditation to Trinity's proposed law school.
The flip-flop of the Law Society from April of 2014, where they approved by a wide margin the Trinity Western Law School, and then half a year later, as a result of a popular referendum, revoking their accreditation. And I think the more technical questions kind of was where they saw most of their focus lied. But interveners on both sides made arguments on those big constitutional questions of religious freedom and LGBTQ rights and equality rights for Christians, which is the argument we made. And there was engagement there too.
Andre's back home in Ontario now and appearing before Ontario's Court of Appeal this week in another iteration of this case.
Ontario was the one that we lost at the lower level, where the ruling went in favor of the Law Society of Upper Canada against Trinity Western, and the judges there found that while there was an infringement of religious freedom, it was a reasonable one.
And we're expecting to hear a ruling soon from the third court that's involved in this, the one in Nova Scotia, where a lower court issued the most robust ruling in favor of the constitutional rights of Trinity Western to open that law school. The Law Society there appealed that ruling. And speaking of education, ARPA is expanding again with the acquisition of yet another staff member dedicated to policy and lobbying specifically on educational issues.
Education is one of the biggest issues we tackle, be it in the courts or the legislatures. From that big Loyola Supreme Court case to the Trinity Western case going on again this week, Bill 10 in Alberta, Bill 18 Manitoba, there's both ongoing, and I would also make the case there's increasing need to defend parental authority and our fundamental freedoms, especially when it comes to the education of our children.
That's ARPA Executive Director Mark Penninga. He says the new person is Harry Mose, the soon-to-be-retired principal at Credo Christian High School in Langley, B.C. Mose, he says, brings a whole bunch of other experience to this position as well.
He's been doing this work from more of the policy side as the director of the Federation of Independent Schools Association for over a decade now, and also for the B.C. Minister of Education doing school evaluations around the province. So he has a lot of experience, a lot of relationships with people in the field already. And he's excited to be making a lateral shift, still focusing on education, still seeking the well-being of Covenant children, and doing this under ARPA's umbrella.
Back with more after this.
Galatians 6:9 reads, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Thank you for not giving up. To date, you have sent more than 2,400 letters on the issue of euthanasia. Now is the time to persevere. Join us by visiting easy.arpacanada.ca to send a letter today.
And we're back on the program. As you heard in the news, the House of Commons gave third reading last week to Bill C-14. That's the Liberal government's euthanasia bill that came in response to the Carter decision on doctor-assisted suicide. The bill then moved over to the Senate, where it was expected to get a thorough review. Last Thursday, I spoke with one of the leading Senate opponents of the bill, Alberta's Betty Unger. You may remember this. She's the one who wrote on her personal blog back in February that, quote, "There is something terribly wrong when a government does more to guarantee that the living can die than to ensure that the dying can live." Please keep in mind as you listen to this that when the interview was done, the exact timelines for the Senate discussion were still unclear. Senator Unger, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Talk to me a little bit about the process surrounding Bill C-14 now that it's hit the Senate. I mean, it passed the House. The government has an absolute majority there. They turned down all the amendments that were being proposed, everything from conscience rights to various other things. The Senate is a different animal than the House in terms
of
the political realities that are at play.
Mm-hmm.
My reading is that this bill is going to come out of the Senate with some amendments that were not passed by the House, and then it has to go back to the House for more debate.
That is probable. However, I would like to point out that
we are now a Senate such as never existed before. And from listening yesterday when the two ministers were being questioned for a total of 4 hours, questions came from all around the Senate. And everyone has a different perspective. I have no idea what the debate will look like exactly, although yesterday gave me a bit of an indication generally about people's views on this bill. And I'm not happy to say that I think that people who support the position that I take are not that great in number. With regard to amendments, there were questions yesterday, many about conscience rights and many about palliative care. So will those two issues coalesce into some amendments? Possibly. To me, there's a reasonable expectation that that will happen, but I'm still not certain about how this new group will respond when it comes to actual votes.
And I guess that's the central thrust of my question. The Senate, particularly after what Justin Trudeau did last year as Liberal leader, the Senate is no longer as clearly partisan as the House. I mean, in the House, the vote was pretty much along partisan lines. I think there were one or two Liberals who voted against the bill, but generally speaking, it was pretty predictable the way it was going to turn out. And I'm not sensing that that's the case in the Senate.
No, and in particular, I'm thinking of Senator Joyal, who spoke twice, and his comments were about charter rights, and his saying that he could not support the bill in its present form. He spoke at length and, you know, quite emphatically about that one issue, you know, whether or not there's the potential for a charter challenge. And I'm a little bit more clear on the questions that he was asking. I'm less clear on what the answers were.
So we're facing a deadline here. The Supreme Court has said that the government has till June 6th to get this done. By the time this program airs, that deadline is pretty much come and gone. We're not going to make that deadline in terms of getting this back out of the Senate to the House, are we?
No. In my opinion, we are not. Many people wish to speak on this, and the bill will need to go to the Legal and Constitutional Committee. It's possible, but in my opinion, not realistic.
So that leaves us in the position, and we did a feature interview last week with Andre Schutten, the lawyer for ARPA, but it leaves us in a position where, in effect, the Carter decision becomes the law of the land until this bill is enacted by Parliament, which, if there's a summer adjournment, might actually not be till September. You know, and in effect, Carter has been the law of the land since the ruling was issued because nobody's been prosecuted under the old criminal code provisions. Is this a situation that, I mean, I guess we have no choice, but from your perspective, is this a situation that we are prepared to live with?
The health minister yesterday kept making strong appeals saying doctors, you know, are being put in a bad position. They don't know how to respond. And it's as if there's some emerging crisis when in fact there is none. People already are being given this option of being, I'll be honest, killed by their doctors at their request. So I just don't see that there's any great urgency. And my personal wish would be that we would slow down, take a step back, and do a thorough examination of all of the aspects of this bill. And if it passes and goes back to the House of Commons, it will have received its due diligence from the Senate. That's my wish. I don't think that will happen. I think this hurry-up phase is artificially being pushed, and I really cannot understand what the reason could be.
Senator Rucker, we're out of time. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.